It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. With Memorial Day being the unofficial start of summer and people making vacation plans, it's easy to forget that it's a holiday meant to honor the sacrifices of men and women in the military. Imagine being in the heat of battle and risking your life for others with little or no concern for your personal safety. This was the experience of Technical Sergeant Mike Sears, who put his life on the line while serving in Afghanistan. For his bravery, Sergeant Sears earned the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star. And he joins us now in Studio A. Sergeant Mike Sears, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul. It's great to be here.
How did you find out that you would be receiving the Purple Heart and Bronze Star?
The Bronze Star was submitted to me by my commanding officer while I was still in country, which was great because someone I looked up to, and he was going to go his own way and my own way towards the end. So he gave me the award over there for my actions that I received during combat actions. And then the Purple Heart was a big surprise to myself and my team, actually.
Why?
The Purple Heart, mostly because it goes to a medical board. I didn't feel that, a lot of soldiers don't feel that they were injured enough to receive the Purple Heart or don't want to receive the Purple Heart. A lot of us even consider it an enemy expert badge. So a lot of us are very appreciative of the award and love the award and are honored to receive the award. But a lot of us feel also at the same sense that, you don't want to be that guy that was injured. You want to get home safe and mentally not have any of that on your mind. So it went to a medical board, all my injuries that were run up, and they ended up approving it. And the day I received it, I was greatly honored and appreciative.
Let's get into the experiences that you had in Afghanistan and what led up to your receiving the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star, which originated back during World War II, an award that President Truman came up with for the troops at that time for bravery in battle. You did something that was extraordinarily brave. I'll let you tell the story about what happened as you are in Afghanistan and all of a sudden finding yourself under attack.
Yes, we were actually out on a patrol that day, and it's normal. We go out on a patrol about 3 to 4 times a week, and we had intel that there was an improvised explosive device, or an IED, near one of the local villages that we patrol. So we went out to it and found the IED itself. I went downrange, defused that IED by hand, and while searching around the area, I actually found two more, and they were pressure plate IEDs, so like something that you would step on would set them off. So when I found those two, I decided just to get down on my hands and knees, get dirty, dig them up, ended up cutting the wires on those, diffusing them, and collecting the evidence. Meanwhile, while this is all going on, my P2, or the person that helps me, assists me from my truck, noticed that the villagers on the third IED that we diffused started to disperse. And usually that's a warning sign whenever you see kids, women, children just running or hiding, getting away. And multiple middle-aged males coming out.
It's an indication that an attack is coming.
Generally that an attack is coming, or they just want us out of the area because there's possible bad guys in the area and they're not sure. It happens quite often and nothing ever happens. But on this day, it obviously did. They all ran out of there. We got our evidence. We cleaned up quickly because we saw that occurring. Loaded up in the truck. And as soon as we got in the truck, we started getting peppered with small arms fire. Our truck got lit up, probably got shot over 100 times. We were only about 100 meters away from the village itself. They had a good barrier to hide behind, and we were out in the open, so we were stuck.
And as you were taking on fire, these are coalition forces, so you're with soldiers from other countries, and there was a Polish soldier in particular who was in a lot of trouble.
He was, yeah. On that day, once we started getting shot at, I just jumped out of the truck, went to the back of the rear of the truck, and just started to lay fire down on the enemy's position when I saw just a stream of smoke coming at me. And probably the scariest moment of your life right there. It missed our truck by about a foot. I looked up and saw it go right over our head and then impact the truck that was about 20 meters behind us. And that was the command vehicle. And that's the Polish soldier, the driver, went through the door and injured him badly. Well, when that exploded, it knocked me backwards and dazed me for a few minutes, or probably just a few seconds, but it felt like minutes. Shook it off, jumped up, ran to the truck, and I opened the door and I saw that the soldier was badly injured. So I reached up, grabbed him, Tried to support him. I figured he would just walk out, not knowing how badly he was hurt.
He was missing part of a limb.
He was. And not that you would never even know it at the time. There's so much smoke, confusion, adrenaline pumping. I grab him. I pull him down. I get him to the ground, and I realize his left leg is gone, and his right leg is just hanging on. So I was going to start combat life-saving skills right there, but then our truck, the command truck that I was at, just started getting peppered with rounds again. I had to get him out of there. So I grabbed him by the back of the neck, by his vest, and drug him to the other side of the truck for cover.
And you're exposed this whole time.
Yeah, we were out there. We were exposed. Got him to the other side of the truck. Thought we were in good shape there. And within not even 10 seconds, probably, while we were on the other side of the truck, two more RPGs, rocket-propelled grenades, come in. Impact dangerously close to us. Again, knocks me out, covers us in shrapnel and dirt. I come to, and rounds are hitting all around us. And that's when we realized it was a bad day, because it was actually a complex ambush. They were hitting us from two different directions. So the cover I was using from the truck was no good anymore. The fire was coming from the south now. So as they opened up on us, I only had one thing I could do, and that was just lay on top of the soldier and try to protect him. It's a miracle. I don't know how I didn't get shot that day, or he didn't get shot. And then within maybe it felt like an hour. I'm sure it was only seconds. But with the rounds sitting all around us, another RPG came in, blew up, dirt everywhere. And it was a good chance for me to get up with the smoke it caused from it. Luckily, it didn't hit us. And that's when I placed a tourniquet on his left leg as quickly as possible and packed his right leg full of gauze to try to save his life, because he was bleeding out badly. He was in shock. You looked into his eyes. It didn't look like he was there anymore. So that's when, you know.
Well, I was going to say, I wanted to jump in here. And, you know, as you're doing this, is there a – you're exposed the whole time. You're covering his body. You're trying to save this soldier. You're shielding him. Is there a self-preservation instinct? It's something that we all have. None of us wants to die. Is that an instinct that you have to fight when you put yourself in a situation like that?
Paul, I don't know about for most people. I've gotten asked that a few times. I know for me, I didn't have to. Prior to that event, or prior to other combat actions that I've been in prior to this one, I would have answered, I don't know. And I think most of us can say that. We just don't know until you're put in that situation. That day, honestly, I think whenever you get in a firefight, it's the weirdest feeling. Your hearing goes down. Your focus goes locked on straight. Your brain mentally shuts down. You can't think about family, friends. Even if you try, I don't even think you'd be able to.
What are you thinking? To the extent that you're conscious of your thoughts, what are you thinking?
And that's it. Extent. If I was conscious to my thoughts, I'm not even sure. I know my training kicked in. I placed a tourniquet perfect from what I was told. I don't remember placing the tourniquet on his leg. But they said it was on perfect. The rounds I went through, changing the magazine, everything from all the witnesses said that I fought correctly that day, and all my training must have kicked in. But again, you know, I don't think you really think whenever you're fighting. Either you have the training or you don't.
We're talking with Sergeant Mike Sears, who put his life on the line serving in Afghanistan and was awarded the Purple Heart and the Bronze Star. Let's talk about some of your injuries. I understand you tore ligaments in your shoulder. There were other injuries that you sustained as well that apparently you're still dealing with.
I am. Unfortunately, whenever the first RPG came in, it rocked my bell pretty good. It shook the brain up. And then on the second and third one, I started to, you know, lose conscious on the second one. And then on the third one, again, I felt myself going out. And probably within the next 2 months, I was subject to about three more blasts. Not RPG, but improvised explosive devices under a truck near us. And that's when the headache started, the dizziness, the nausea. So as soon as my tour was over, you know, it was commanded, kind of. I tried to hide these things. At the time, again, I'm a proud person. I don't want to be injured. I don't want to say I was ever injured. I don't want disability. But I was commanded to go get an MRI, and that's when it revealed that that I had a traumatic brain injury that I didn't even realize I had. Just thought it was a bad concussion. But the torn ligaments in the shoulder, that's easy. The headaches, the loss of memory, that's the tougher part.
And how are you going about dealing with that right now?
Right now, there's not a whole lot you can do, unfortunately. you can read and do all your homework on TBI, severe concussions. A lot of Pittsburgh Penguin fans can probably attest to this with Sid Crosby, but it's the same thing for him. You know, they just say time will heal all. You just hope there's no permanent damage. And even if there was, there's just not a whole lot out there that they can do right now for it. So time.
You put your life at risk, obviously, to save this Polish soldier. Have you had any contact with him since the day you were under fire?
I have, yeah. I got, you know, all his information before he left. We were friends. We hung out almost every day prior to that event. You know, and the worst thing about Derek being injured that day was that was his last mission. He was going home in 2 days. So it's the most unfortunate thing in the world whenever I realized it was him. But yeah, we all had our contact information already settled before he went home. After all the surgeries, I've been in contact, social media, Facebook, and email. And he's doing well. He's got a prosthetic left leg, and the right leg was able to be reattached, and skin grafts are coming along great.
So what was the reaction of your wife and your family when they heard you were being given the Purple Star and the Bronze Star, and maybe more specifically about what you had done and the extreme bravery that you exhibited?
My wife and I and the kids, we talked about once a week while I was over there, and I made it a point to lie to her as much as possible. I think she knew, and actually I know she knew that I was lying to her, that I always constantly told her I was bored and there was nothing going on here, just waiting to do something. I think she knew better, but you know, when she eventually found out when I got home, she was relieved. I think it's easy. It's an easy response that she knows I'm probably done. That was probably my last tour. I'm here, and my kids. It was the greatest honor to see the looks in their eyes, to see how proud they were when I received them.
Tell us about your involvement in the Wounded Warrior Foundation.
The Wounded Warrior Foundation. I'm currently working with. It's about the Warrior Foundation. They are a Western PA foundation that specifically helps Western PA warriors, which is unique. This foundation is remarkable. They're a nonprofit organization that gives everything out to all wounded warriors. Remarkable. I've decided to raise money for their foundation through a golf tournament at Seven Oaks Country Club on September 27th. So I hope your listeners can save the date. And we're currently working with It's About the Warrior Foundation to have our registration and sponsor form up on their site. But right now, for your listeners, if they want to contact us, they can contact us through golf, the number 4heroes at gmail.com. So it's golf4heroes at gmail.com.
And we'll put a link to that on our website,
yeah, that'd be great.
WESA.FM, mm-hmm. Golf4Heroes. And we'll have a link to information about this tournament coming up in September for a very good cause, again, at our website, WESA.FM. What is your life like today? You are staying busy, for sure.
I am, and I think that's the key. You know, some of the doctors that I've talked to, mental professionalists, you know, that's the thing, is don't get down, stay busy. Don't try to think about it. It's hard not to. But I've been through this situation before. This isn't my first go around. But I will admit, life is boring. It's not like it was when you're over there. Every day is an adrenaline rush. I think you see that with a lot of warriors, and it's sometimes mistaken for PTSD. That when you get home, you become down, you become depressed, because that action's not there anymore. It's back to the grind. It's back to, you know, 40-hour work weeks and living paycheck to paycheck. We're over there. It's none of those worries. The only worry you have is staying alive, and the adrenaline rush is unbelievable.
Are you becoming more acclimated to just being back at home?
I am, yeah. I got back in January. I'll admit the first 2 months are generally always the toughest for me, from my past experiences. But now, you know, going into the fourth, fifth month, I feel great. I don't feel any effects other than the headaches and short memory loss, which, you know, the doctors keep telling me it'll go away, and I believe that it will. Other than that, yeah, I feel really good. And in something like this, It's About the Warrior Foundation is going to help me immensely.
Well, we wish you well with your convalescence. Sergeant Mike Sears, thank you for your service to our country. Thank you for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Have a good Memorial Day weekend.
You too, sir.
Coming up, as farmers markets open, we'll take a look at markets in our area with Rhonda Schult. That's coming up here as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.